Hello, welcome to another episode of Unpacking Neuroqueerness. First of all, I wanted to apologize for not releasing an episode for the past 2 weeks. I usually try to release an episode every week on average, but I've been really busy the last couple weeks, and unfortunately I wasn't able to do an episode last week, but here we are today. And today I wanted to talk about why masking can be a burden and a privilege at the same time. So I've done a brief overview of masking before episode 6, but that was really early on in the podcast, and I wanted to do a more detailed version of that episode of sorts, digging a little deeper into the pros and cons, in the sense of, I don't think there are really any pros in terms of mental health to masking, but I think there are pros in terms of interacting with society. And so what I'm trying to say is, although masking, which basically refers to hiding traits like stimming, adjusting voice tone, and forcing eye contact, in my experience, those have been the main things I found myself doing when it comes to masking, which is basically hiding my true autistic self, and you know, the authentic ways that I present and interact with the world in order to avoid ostracization, being looked at weird, being judged, having people distance themselves from you. Because early on, I, like many other autistics that I've spoken to in support groups that have presented similar experiences, have figured out early on, like these other folks as well, we figured out that if we just behave like ourselves, like openly stimming, fidgeting, having a monotone voice, communicating directly, not forcing eye contact when it's uncomfortable for us, trying to communicate in other ways, we notice that when we just do this, like when we are like our authentic selves, we're usually judged, we're usually looked at weird, we're usually, you know, sometimes unfortunately we're ostracized, we're told to stop stimming, we're told that we're being weird, we're told that we're being rude, or that we shouldn't be doing that, we shouldn't be stimming, or that we're forced to make eye contact because a lot of cultures and neurotypical society value eye contact so highly when it's a really uncomfortable experience for people that have sensory sensitivities. And there are so many other ways to communicate that don't involve eye contact. And also for a lot of people, it's harder to focus on what's being said if you're putting so much attention into looking into someone's eyes. Like, that's what will happen to me. Like, I'll try to force eye contact and I'll actually understand way less of what the person is trying to communicate to me. So we become, myself and others that I've spoken to with similar experiences, we slowly became kind of, began masking automatically. We became conditioned in a way to view our stims as things that were frowned upon. And so we would keep ourselves from stimming, which can sometimes cause a lot of sensory overload, and it can throw off our sensory perceptions. Because we are not able to regulate ourselves, because stimming is a way of regulating sensory and even emotional input in some cases. So that's why we become dysregulated sensory-wise or emotionally dysregulated when we don't stim, but we keep ourselves from stimming in these social situations, because we know we'll be judged if we stim. We force ourselves to make eye contact, which can be really painful sensory-wise as well. But there's another thing that we're constantly doing. Like, it's interesting because people don't realize it, but autistic people are constantly accommodating neurotypical people by masking these things. And a lot of neurotypical people make such a big deal about accommodating autistic people. They don't realize that they're the ones being accommodated, because we're literally changing the way we communicate and interact with the world. These are just a few examples of masking behaviors that become so ingrained. And so when you're forcing yourself to do these masking behaviors for so long, day after day, month after month, year after year, throughout school and many, many people throughout adult life as well, throughout, you know, at their job, a lot of people don't even get diagnosed as autistic and find out they're autistic until way like into their 40s, 50s, sometimes later. So people spend large chunks of their lives chronically masking, and chronic masking has a really detrimental effect on mental health. So that is a valid thing to say. I'm not saying that masking is a good thing in any way, but we have to acknowledge the ability to mask can keep you safe. It can be considered a privilege, because it keeps autistic people from losing their jobs, because a lot of times, so, and I've heard this in support groups too, like, people will disclose that they're autistic, and they will either be infantilized and not taken seriously anymore. The attitudes of how other people treat them will change dramatically. And sometimes they're fired. And of course, you know, the employer can't legally say that they're firing the person because they're autistic. But a lot of times that's the real reason, and they'll make up a different reason. But, you know, it becomes pretty clear that the reason is because they disclose that they're autistic. And it's really unfortunate, because there are even a lot of people in the psychotherapy field that are not able to, that they love working with autistic people, of course, because they relate to the autistic experience, but they're not able to disclose because of where they work. And because of intersecting marginalized identities, because of their income level and status and where they live and all of that, they're not able to disclose that they are autistic, because there is a high chance they will be ostracized and infantilized and sort of discredited in whatever field they are working in. So this is deeply rooted in what many of us refer to as systemic ableism. This is what I'm talking about. This is just one example of this refers to the systemic oppression of disabled people, and this is one branch. This whole topic of autistic masking is one branch of that. And what I'm trying to convey as well is that these societal norms and constructs that favor non-autistic people and non-autistic behavior patterns over autistic people and autistic behavior patterns is held together by systems such as ableism, sexism, and white supremacy, which are all intersecting, and they all go with each other. Another example of that, they're all interlinked. And that's what whole, and so let me give you another example. Black autistics are, you can look this up, and there are cases that happened even as recently as this year, and I'm sure many, many, many that don't even get reported, but black autistics are often shot and killed for stimming, because they're self-stimulatory behaviors, such as fidgeting and whatnot, to regulate sensory and emotional input, as I've talked about. They will be stimming, and they will come across a law enforcement officer, and they will be perceived as threatening because of their stimming behaviors, and they're often killed when there was no threat whatsoever. And so this is how that ties into white supremacy. And so there's the combination of white supremacy and ableism right there. And this is something that happens often. And so that's another example of how it is masking, like, someone that has the ability to mask, particularly if they are part of, if they have other intersecting marginalized identities, and they have, if they are able to mask, that is when masking is considered a privilege. That is when we realize, like, if you in the United States are a non-black autistic person that is able to mask, you will have a lot more privilege than a black autistic person that is not able to mask. And a black autistic person that is able to mask will have more privilege than a black autistic person that is not able to mask. Because the people that are most at risk are those who are already at risk due to other systems of oppression, such as sexism, racism, etc. And then they're additionally at risk because of ableism, because they're something such as stimming can be interpreted as a threat, because the way law enforcement is trained nowadays, and the way these stimming behaviors are viewed in society is very negative and non-inclusive and non-neurodiversity affirming, and not understanding of these behaviors such as stimming. And that is what happens, and that is why we cannot force people to unmask. We cannot just say, everyone should unmask, and we should all learn to unmask, and because for a lot of autistic people, it is not safe to unmask. They will lose their job. They will risk getting killed. It is not safe to unmask. And so, you know, the focus on making individuals unmask is actually diverting attention from where the focus should be, which is dismantling the systems of oppression that put people in danger if they do not mask. So that is the gist of what I wanted to talk about today. I hope that this made sense. I hope that it was a helpful episode. Thank you for listening once again. I will have more guest episodes coming up in the future. I know this was another pretty short episode, but I do have some guest episodes planned, lined up, so hopefully those will be out within the next few weeks. I'm going to try to get back to the one episode per week schedule. So once again, thank you for listening, and I'll see you all next time.